I think they spend about 10 minutes trying to figure out why the two URLs are exactly the same. And then I think at some point, the guy next to her says, like, I think they're the same. And then I think Andrew is like, can the record show that the attorney next to Joanne said they were saying, and dude, Joanne is getting so triggered. We're probably halfway through. They have this whole stack of papers. And Andrew's like, we need a copy. And Joanne gets for the person. And she's like, and she has the papers. And she's like, she like throws it across the room. And Andrew's like, Joanne, what is wrong with you? You just let the record show. She just threw a thing of papers at me. We need a 10-minute break. And she is so fucking, she's so frazzled. It is so funny to me how unbelievably triggered she is this entire deposition. Oh my God. So yesterday we went to the wonderful law offices of the opposing counsel's local law firm. And first of all, they're doing this deposition with, I think they had 7 lawyers for this. We were in a conference room, and they have a table that's like one of those where it's like 2 feet wide or 4 feet wide or whatever, then like 10 feet long. I think they had like 12 binders of papers for exhibits or whatever. And it was just, I don't even know. It was not good. I'm trying to think of, I've only done one civil case in my life, so I'm not like an expert on everything, but I feel like having witnessed multiple depositions and watched multiple depositions, first of all, I feel like if you want to be, I'm about to talk so much shit, okay, fuck it, whatever. Whenever people are like, oh my God, like you would make a good lawyer, you should go to law school. If somebody says that shit to you, like, oh, this guy would be a lawyer, whatever. People often think of like litigation. I feel like depositions are, it feels like probably one of them, in my opinion, one of the most important skills I think you can have if you want to be like a litigator or a lawyer is like being able to do a good deposition. It seems incredibly important. You got to consider that like almost none of your cases ever get to trial anyway, right? I think it's like anywhere, depending on how you measure it, like 5 to 3% of cases or less even go to trial. So you have very few cases even go to trial. So like it feels like depositions are oftentimes where you kind of like make or break your summary judgments, your MSJs or settlement offers is where they, you know, come from. Depositions. I'm trying to think. I wish I had my transcript in front of me. Fuck. I'm trying not to talk shit because I feel like there's, again, there might be that if I had more experience, I would look at things differently. Or maybe there was like a method to the madness that I just didn't understand or that would have come out otherwise. But like, if you're doing a deposition, in my mind, you have future motions that you want to plan or lay out, or you're thinking about trial. And there are certain concessions that you feel like you can get from the opposing side that you're really trying to get for trial, right? So let's say that I'm trying to say, my mind always goes to criminal stuff, but it's not, this isn't a criminal thing. But let's say, or I guess even for my examples, hold on. I'm trying to think of how to even, it was just so bad. It was such a clusterfuck. Let me think for a moment. Hold on. I'm trying to think of how. Let me run these topics down one at a time. Okay. Here's the first thing I would say. I don't know why I'm giving advice on this. You don't have to take my advice. It's just general observations, okay? If you're going to depose somebody over something, you have to be very, very, very familiar with the subject matter that you're trying to depose them on because you need to be able to ask questions around whatever it is. If you're trying to, I don't want to say bait somebody into answering something, but if you're trying to get a concession or something, you're trying to push somebody into a certain area, you have to be familiar with the subject matter to push them there. So I would say for like 30 to 40% of the questions, this was at a technical level that was beyond all of the litigators on the other side of the table. And I don't know why they thought they could do a deposition of me and ask me technical questions on stuff that they just didn't understand. Because when I would give an answer to a thing, and I'm confident of all my answers, they couldn't push or nibble around the edges for anything. It was impossible for them. Like, I remember at one point, they tried to push this. Also, this is also really bad. One of the bad things on, I don't think you should be trying to ambush people with questions, but their entire case has been built on Kiwi Farms theories, okay? Now, technically speaking, in an ideal world, you can try to guess what you're going to be asked in a deposition, but you don't actually know 100%. So like for the night before, I cut my stream early. It wasn't that much to go over because I've gone over so many docs and notes, but I went over all of my submissions. I went over all of my declarations, my affidavits, our major motions so that I could be familiar. I try to go back over the discovery that we submitted. So like, what could they ask questions about? Who knows? But if you're asking me questions that are Kiwi Farms theories, I've had the opportunity to think about these things for a year and a half now. So if you're asking a question to try to trap somebody, it's I know, like, assuming I'm not a retard, but and also that's exceptional, not to be mean, but most deponents are retarded. So I mean, I guess it would work maybe if they knew. But like, I know a lot of the times where a lot of these questions are going. So it might be like, so Joanne will show me like, well, here we have a conversation here. Can you say who this is? And it's like, oh, this looks like Abby MC. And she's like, scroll through. First of all, they printed out every single page of discovery that I gave them. So all my chat logs. That was a lot of the binders. So I'm going through like date stamp like 400 to 1,400. Is this huge binder of pages. And she's like, can you take your time to go through this? Is there a single response from you here? And I'm going through all of it. And you know, my response is, you know, on the exhibits that you provided me, I do not see any responses, you know, in this exhibit or whatever. And she's like, well, why is that? And, you know, I'm like, I'm not entirely sure. On the pages you've given me, there is no response printed. That's, you know, that's why. Well, do you have those responses? It's like, I believe I've given these as part of the production I've done. I've reproduced all documents that are necessary and requested for this lawsuit. And it, like, it's obvious when she's like asking me questions that like she's showing me like part of my discovery going on this theory that like I've deleted some evidence, but like but when she starts asking questions about it, she'll be like, so you say that you've you mentioned here, so she played like this food shops clip like three times where I'm screaming about like this AI whatever thing, and she's like, can you explain here what you mean when you said information is lost? And I'm like, well, in this clip I'm talking about the difficulties of translating front-end timestamp to reverse engineer the Unix code of it so that I can merge two different logs together. And it's like very clear that she has no idea what I'm talking about. So after she asks the question, she has to move on from it. And the goal for her line of questioning there, I imagine, when they were workshopping this, like, okay, we have to get him to admit that when he created this new document, there might be messages that he created or hallucinated or deleted that could be lost. But she couldn't even get to those types of questions because she didn't have the technical background to understand like the answers that I was given. So she asks a question, I get to give my perfect answer for the record, and it's a pristine answer for the record, and then she doesn't follow up on it at all. She moves to the next thing. I'm like, okay, I mean, if you want my what I feel is it's essentially a perfect answer to what you just asked me, and there's no like pushback on it at all. So much of the deposition was like this. I remember oh my god, it's so funny. So like, you have a lot of like natural human instincts, or you have a natural inclination to help people figure stuff out. But like, they have 7 hours to depose me. I'll let them struggle as much as they want. So like, one of the funnier parts is they give me two exhibits. So they've done their exhibits incorrectly a little bit. I'm not gonna say I play stupid, but like, we have attached to this, I hope the transcript gets really good. Oh, there's a video too. But attached to one of our motions, we have Exhibit E, Exhibit F, and then they're in a deposition, you label your exhibits 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, or whatever. So she gives me something that we label as, I think it's Exhibit 16 or 17. And then she gives me another thing that they label Exhibit 17 or 18. And both of these have overlapping information on them. So she's like, okay, I would like to ask you about docket 136-2 or whatever. And I'm like, okay, was this exhibit 16 or 17? And she says, well, hold on. And she's like, it's exhibit E. And I'm looking at it, and I know, and the problems, there was overlapped information. I'm like, okay, is that, which exhibit is that? And she's like, well, it's exhibit E. And I see what she's holding, so I pull up the other one, and I'm looking at it, I'm like, okay. And she's like, do you see on page 4 or whatever? And I'm like, no, I only have 3 pages. And she's like, are you looking at exhibit E? And I'm like, well, no, I think, or it says exhibit E, I have exhibit like 17 and she's holding 16 though. But again, it's just like, oh my God, it was such a clusterfuck. And it takes her probably 5 minutes to figure out. And she's like, oh, okay, hold on. I mean, the exhibit labeled 17. So I pull it like, okay, 17. And then she's like, I want you to compare these two URLs. And they're leaning into this Kiwi Farms theory that the URLs are changed. So she's like, compare these two URLs. And I'm looking at them. Okay, you don't respond. There's no question. I don't want to say anything. She can talk all she wants. And she's like, can you? And then, so oftentimes she likes to say things at me. So she'll be like, these two URLs are modified. And then I look at her and she'll stare at me for like 5 seconds and I'm just kind of looking at her. And then eventually Andrew will say, there's no question. And then she'll say, these two URLs are modified, aren't they, Bonnell? But this is probably one of the funniest parts of this whole deposition. I'm looking at it. I know what part of the Jesus guy's testimony, the expert witness testimony, she's relying on, but they put in the exhibit the wrong two links. And so I'm looking at them and I go, and so remember, I try to make them do as much research. So I go, can you point to me where the modification is between these two links? And she goes, well, they're different. And I say, they appear similar to me. Can you show me where in the two URLs they're different? And so she looks at it. The guy next to him looks at it. And then they start looking at it for a while. The two URLs are exactly the same. They have the wrong, they've got the wrong attached exhibit from our submissions. And I think they spend about like 10 minutes trying to figure out why the two URLs are exactly the same. And then I think at some point the guy next to her says, like, I think they're the same. And then I think Andrew is like, can the record show that the attorney next to Joanne said they were saying, and dude, Brettler is an actual god at just needling the fuck out of the opposing counsel. And Joanne is getting so triggered. First of all, I love that every single lawyer, when they're doing depositions, when they're deposing, every lawyer knows every fucking thing ever from law school about the proper rules. You know, like you're only supposed to object to the form of a question and attorney-client privilege, speaking objections and other things aren't proper, and they'll remind you this every time. But when the lawyer is defending a deposition, they fucking object to the most random retarded shit in the world to start object to because it triggers the fuck out of the opposing counsel. And Joanne was getting so fucking mad. There are times, and also keep in mind, you have 7 hours to depose me. That's it, 7 hours. And she spends like 10% of the time fighting with Andrew. And I'm just like sitting here, I mean, neither of these motherfuckers are under oath. Like, if you guys want to talk to each other all day, I'll sit here and just chill. It's all on the record, you know? Fuck it. I don't care. Fuck it. And it's just so funny. They're going back and forth. And I think we're probably halfway through. At some point, Andrew is so quick on the, like, if she doesn't hand them a copy of whatever before she's asking a question, she's like, hold on, we need a copy. And I remember halfway through, they have this whole stack of papers, and Andrew's like, we need a copy. And Joanne gets for the person, and she's like, and she has the papers, and she's like, she, like, throws it across the room, and Andrew's like, Joanne, what is wrong with you? You just, let the record show, she just threw a thing of papers at me. We need a 10-minute break. And she is so fucking, she's so frazzled. It is so funny to me how unbelievably triggered she is this entire deposition. Oh my God. Oh my God, it was fucking hilarious. Yeah, I don't know.
We gotta get the transcript for that one.
Well, there should be a video for it. We recorded it, so.
Oh, shit.
The video will be just of me. You might be able to see hands going back and forth, but it's just, yeah, I don't think they got anything from that depo. I feel like ours went pretty well. The difference between answers is fucking hilarious because I hope Pixie's comes out. For about 3 or 4 hours, the entire time, Pixie is like, I can't attest to the validity of that chat log, so I can't say anything of it. I have no recollection of this. I can't attest to anything. She spends about half the deposition just basically playing stupid on every single log. She can't attest to anything. And it's just it's just crazy how much of a lying scumbag piece of shit she is in her deposition. But I think one of the times, I think Joanne's lawyers was laughing. They were trying to argue this whole, like, so when you sent this file to whoever, this was on a publicly accessible Google Drive. And I'm like, I need you to clarify. I don't understand the question. And she's like, what do you mean? She's like, I don't know what you mean by a Google Drive. She's like, did you send a Google Drive to somebody? And it's like, I don't know what you mean by a Google Drive. Can you clarify or specify? And so she has to, you know, and she's like, was there a Google Drive link? And it's like, yes, there is a Google Drive link that I've sent to somebody on, you know, this platform. And she's like, and wasn't it true that that link was publicly accessible? And I'm like, well, I don't really think that it would be accurate to say that it was publicly accessible. And she's like, well, couldn't anybody with that link access that file? And I would say, well, yes, it is true that somebody with that link could access the file. And she's like, so then would it not be accurate to say that this is a publicly accessible link? And my response was, in the same, and I said, it would be accurate in the same way that your house is publicly accessible if somebody has the key to your door. And then the guy next to her started giggling, and then they moved on from that line of questions. It was fucking retarded.
Oh, they just left?
Yeah, there were so many lines of questions she just abandoned because she didn't have any of the technical expertise to like grill and then drill onto the into the tech stuff. She just couldn't do it. So I'm like, why? I don't know why you're trying to. I don't know why they just didn't get somebody younger or somebody with more technological savvy to ask the questions. It was just it was really 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 silly. Yeah.
Has Andrew ever had papers thrown at him before?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I didn't ask him that.
You're going to be this motherfucker's stories. He's going to be like, man, let me tell you about the time I did this fucking crazy case.
Was she there during your... She was the one deposing me, yeah? My queen. Why was it recorded? All depositions are supposed to be recorded, I think. But how did your team think you did? They thought everything went really well. Like, I don't think we gave them anything for anything, so... But I mean, to be fair, like, this is one of those things where... It's really easy for me, and it's much more difficult for Pixie because she's intentionally lying and obfuscating about everything, and they've had to fabricate evidence. Like, I've turned over basically everything. I've turned over everything I've asked for. My record keeping is pretty good. I don't know how much of Joan's ego got blown up by reading Kiwi Farm stuff. Remember, if you're on the logistical crowd or you like listen to Esports Batman or these retards, like in their mind, I'm lying and deleting evidence. I'm hiding everything. Remember, their story from the very start was... First, like, the complaint would destroy me, and then all the girls coming out would destroy me, and then the discovery would destroy me, and then my deposition would destroy me. But, like, the reality is, as long as I'm not being a fucking retard, as long as I'm not saying something that's not true or misspeaking or whatever, like, all my stuff is pretty straightforward. Do you think that they actually believe that you cut stuff out of the transcripts, or are they just desperate and seeing if they can trick you somehow into saying, you know, looking back? Sometimes it's just, like, asking questions about, like a particular thing. Obviously, there's like two messages that KF likes to play so much where it's like, but in my opinion, even the way that Joanne loads questions is just so bad. Because there's one where when I found out all my shit got leaked, I'm 99% sure that I was standing in the shower and I think I got a DM from Pixie. And I'm like, oh, Jesus, fuck me. And one of the messages I sent was like something along the lines of like, I'm trying to remember what this was. It was like, through no fault of your own or whatever. Like, I understand this happened. Like, this is so horrible or whatever. And Joanna's like, when you said through no fault of her own, what you meant was that all of it was your fault, right? And then obviously Andrew does his objections. And I'm like, no, that's not what I meant. I told her that I believe that she was damaged. I don't think she did anything wrong. And Joanna's response to that was like, but why didn't you tell her that she consented to you sharing the video, so in a way it was all like her fault or something? And I'm like, why the fuck? And I think my response was like, I feel like that would have been an incredibly inappropriate response to given it 5 minutes after discovering that all of our explicit material leaked online. It's just like the craziest compound hypothetical, like, ridiculous questions of the world. I'm like, why the fuck would anybody ever say this? Even if it was true, why the fuck would everybody, or even if it was false, like, there's no world where anybody would ever say any of this. It's like crazy. Like, even if there was a thing where it was somebody's fault completely, I don't know why you would say that right then and there. Like, why? Like, Jesus. I don't know. She's just wild. Wild question. Was Del there? No, she won't show up for anything that she doesn't have to show up for. I'm pretty sure. It's also funny because I can kind of tell what's going on behind the scenes for them sometimes, because obviously they haven't turned over basically none of the discovery that I am owed, and I will never get it because Pixie's a lying fucking piece of shit who knows that she was up to some crazy no good shit, and that's why she won't turn some of these convos over to me. But they started asking me about, like, have you communicated with your ex-wife Melina about this case? Have you told her not to communicate with the plaintiff in this case anywhere? Which I'm guessing is they must have gotten into a fight or something behind the scenes. I don't know, because they never turn any of those communications over to me. Yeah. Good memes. Stupid. But what are you going to do?
So they went the full 7 hours?
No. At about at around 6 hours, I think, they were like, give us 5 minutes so we could review some stuff. And then we came back and they didn't really have anything else. So what's up, Kafka?
I just wanted to touch on two things you said kind of earlier on. It was interesting that you mentioned the thing about the, like, substantive questions. So in cases, you can have like lay witnesses or you can have expert witnesses, right? Uh-huh. And there's kind of a rule whenever you're doing depos or testimony or anything, if there's an expert witness on the stand, you don't ever challenge them on what they're there to testify about, right? Like, you don't, if a guy is an expert about oil and gas. You're not going to go up there and be like, well, tell me about the cracking process and try to undermine him, because expert witnesses have been on the stand and in courtrooms probably longer than the lawyer deposing them, because that's all they do. They make money off of that.
Oh, so you're not saying it would be like illegal or improper, but like you're going to get fucking schooled unless you're like a super expert yourself or something? Or,
yeah. It's like really well known that like you just don't want to challenge somebody on a substantive topic if they have the ability to talk on it, unless there's a like written statement from them and you have something else that can support you to undermine them. Because here's the other side. Let's say you fucked up and said something wrong, and I've got you wrong here. You probably are enough of an expert that you can talk around your mistake.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm saying
like
it's so dumb to challenge anybody. Not that I would ever lie or anything, but like if I wanted to, I could literally make up anything I wanted to here, and you would never be able to correct the record or challenge me on any of it. Yeah, that's why it's so dumb. Yeah.
And so you would like, ideally what it is, it's like, oh, you said something dumb in writing, and I know what you put in writing is wrong, and I'm going to ask you this question, and if you are an expert, you're going to say the right answer. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to go, well, then why did you say this in writing? And then you're not fighting me, you're fighting yourself, right? Sure. Like, that's kind of the ideal of that.
Although even I think it would require some base level of understanding, because she was like, she tried to challenge me, because eventually later on they got to somehow like the two links not matching. But so she brought up that Jesus documentation thing. And she's like, well, if these two links are the same, then that must mean that they pointed to separate files. And so my first response is, well, that's not necessarily true. And she's like, well, what do you mean? It's like, well, there can be, two different files can technically be hosted, or the same file can be hosted on two separate links. And she's like, okay. And then it's like, well, like these two things could be, well, the links are different here. And it's like, well, they don't appear to be tampered with. It appears to be an OCR, a scan error, basically. And she's like, well, what do you mean by an OCR scan error or whatever? And then it's like, well, when you scan in documents, you can see that the difference between these two links looks to be the same visual error, the same one that you and your, your co-counsel were making earlier, and it mixes up like a T dash for like, or a T slash for like a U or a W or whatever. And even if I was lying about all of that, she would have no idea. So why even ask the question?
And it's worse than that. Okay. Now, granted, this is a depo, so it doesn't really matter.
Sure.
But like, let's say you're on the stand and you have that same interaction. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's say you lied. Let's say none of that's true. And like, literally, like, not, it's not even that you like bent the truth, just it's straight not true.
Sure.
And she has no expert witness to discuss what any of that shit is. And none of her witnesses know enough to testify about it at all. There's like, there's nothing in the record then that
contradicts what was
wrong.
Just said.
Right. Know. So the jury, they're not supposed to do research on their own. If they know themselves for some reason that it's wrong, maybe they would not believe you, because then it would be about your credibility. Right. So like, they couldn't even question you substantively, technically, on the record. They would just go, oh, that what he said there is wrong. I know it's wrong. And so I don't, it's just that I find him not credible, so I'm not going to accept it. That's how like the court would accept it in, for not using your testimony.
Sure.
But so it's like, that's the other issue, is like, if you're going to go down a line of questioning about like something that is essentially expertise, right? So like what you were doing there is you weren't actually testifying technically as a lay witness, you were being
as an expert witness to the,
which is allowed. You're allowed to do that as
sure,
a lay witness.
Yeah.
But the problem is that if you're asking those questions as an attorney and you don't have an expert that could discuss that too, all you've done is cede all that ground.
Yeah, because you're giving me a chance to leave a pristine, perfect record, assuming I'm not contradicting myself or saying something incorrect that's completely and totally unchallenged from their perspective. Yeah.
Right. Now, it's in a depo, so it doesn't have to come in at trial unless someone offers it, and there's probably no reason why you would offer any of that shit, and there's no reason why she would. So like, it's this thing where it's like, technically, that doesn't hurt her. It's just stupid, a waste of time, and it's like, what did you expect to get out of this? And so, yeah, it is very funny that they, like, show up, and it sounds like, from her perspective, she was hoping that, I guess, you didn't have an answer. I'm not sure, because it's like,
I mean, I understand what you're saying, but like how it doesn't have to come in, so it technically doesn't hurt her. But like, I imagine a scenario where, and I guess I don't know how much Andrew would have fought on this, but like, if you were to push, if you knew the tech and you push really hard. So for instance, like, I guess I'm out of depo, so I don't know if this ever come up at trial. I don't want to give them ideas. I imagine they would get better litigators. But like, if you were to ask, like, is it not possible that like AI could insert some you know, line of text that didn't exist in the original two documents. If you used AI to merge these files, you know, Andrew might object to hypothetical or whatever else, but like, you know,
yeah.
Is it impossible? Is it possible? Could it be, you know, are you sure? Did you check? Did you go through and read, you know, verbatim, both files and ensure that it was 100%, you know? And then it's, I'm just saying that even if I did answer those, like the pressure is then on me because it's like, well, did I go back and reread the entire newly created 300 page log to ensure? Because at that point, it's putting a lot of pressure on me. And it's like, well, I don't recall at this time if I went back and I perfectly, like, I feel like having an answer like that, at least on the record, could look good, especially if you can get like 10 of those, right? Because if you're trying to create right. like a factual issue that can't be resolved with an MSJ, then in their MSJ, they could say, you know, there were six different times in the deposition where Mr. Bonnell, you know, testified that he was not entirely sure that the evidence that he produced, that we were owed a discovery, was 100% accurate. Yeah. But instead, it was nothing. Yeah, every line of question was dead. Yeah.
Yeah. And then looking at it from that perspective is correct of like, okay, if this is a deposition where you are fighting for your life to just survive an MSJ, mm-hmm. yeah, get some I don't knows. Get some I don't knows in there, something, right? Like yeah. that's some, but, you know, and then it's the other side of it too is like whenever she's asking those questions and then not following up on it, right? It's kind of the thing where like my mind goes, what trap did she think she was setting
exactly,
for
yeah.
you? Because now, because like obviously she doesn't know what any of this is. Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah, like you were saying before, where it's like she's trying to do these trap questions. And again, it's like really. You don't want to hope that the first lie they tell is the one in the deposition. You want to be able to like have something where like they have already lied or they've already said something that's really bad for them, so that if they make a statement at the deposition, you can say at the very least it contradicts this right here.
Sure.
Right? Like or if they give you an I don't know, and like I just recently was part of a deposition where like we were getting a lot of I don't knows, and we're like, okay, here is an email. Please read it. Okay, have you read it? Okay, let's discuss what was in it. In the email, did you say this? Yes. Okay. So then you can write, and so it's like it doesn't sound like there was anything like that where she was like, "What is this?" And then you were like, "I don't know," or "It's not this." And then she goes, "Well, here's the document that says you did say that, right?" Mm-hmm. So that's like just kind of a waste of time. Mm-hmm. And then also just them having like the 12 binders of exhibits, like you will definitely, you know, have an extensive production in a lot of cases, but like when you go in, you're usually like, all right, you know, 8 hours, you might have anywhere from like 20 to 80 exhibits, depending on like how precise you're going to get on things. But that also to me sounds like they were like hoping again, you were going to like say something and they go, oh, one second. And then like dig through it and find some message where you're like, oh yeah, I did admit to all these different things that you said. Uh-huh. Was there any point where they were trying to like ask about like other like non-party witnesses or anything like that? Did they ever go into like, cause remember they had like, there were 15 women, right?
Yeah. There were some things they tried to push on, but like, I'm pretty careful. And she probably got, cause they want to pedo jacket me so hard. So like,
right.
There were a lot of times where it's very funny because she would keep trying to sneak in. Like, so when you were communicating with this minor, when you were communicating, and then like every time I would have to preface an answer with like, I was communicating with an adult in the United Kingdom. And she's like, okay, well, but at the time you thought this was a minor. And it was like, well, this adult originally represented to me that this was an adult female that I was communicating with. And she's like, okay, but you were communicating with a minor, weren't you? And it was like, according to the deposition that you guys did of the lady's name, you know, a while ago, I've never communicated with this person. She's like, okay, well, I'm just going to refer to this as Rose from now on for the rest of our deposition. And I'm like, and then she goes on. She does a lot of things where she'll say stuff and start staring at me, waiting for me to say something. I'm like, okay. But then every time she repeated, I would say, well, this account was somebody that was an adult in the United Kingdom. And then, she would just keep. She was getting frustrated because she tried to attack that angle from like 20 different sides, and then eventually she moved on with it. Yeah.
And I'm assuming that whenever that happened, Brettler was doing some objection form, right?
Always. He's objecting on almost everything. They're fighting so much on objections. The other louryer, I think Carlos, was like shouting, like, let him answer the question or whatever. But like, it's funny because there was a lot of like mental stuff going into it. I do have a slight advantage that I can stream for 8 hours. So, like, I can sit here for as long as you want and answer these and try to be sharp the entire time. Like, it's kind of what I do all the time. And Joan is like very clearly getting a little bit, I don't want to say like tired or exhausted, but like she's getting irritated, and Brettler is super getting under her skin. And Brettler, I don't know if it's like this. It reminds me a little bit of the debate world. I don't know if it's like this in the normal world, lawyer world, but bro, as soon as we go off the record, Brettler is completely the most friendly, amicable, nice dude in the universe. And then as soon as we're back on the record, it is like hardcore.
He's like a killer?
Yes! An absolute assassin. And it's so funny. Like, after she threw the stack of papers at him or whatever, and Brettler's like, let the record show. Joanne just hurled a stack of papers at me. We need a 5-minute break immediately. We need a 5-minute break. Let's go off the record or whatever. And then he's like chatting up with like, oh, like Carlos, yeah, like, how do you guys doing or whatever? Like, yeah, I'm sure. Like, they're like, and it's just crazy the switch up. Like, I think in deposition, I can see where Andrews had a lot of experience. And it's very funny watching him work. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah. There's definitely an aspect. So, like, there's two parts to that. Like, one, one of the reasons why it sucks whenever clients are present at, like, hearings is that you have to have a certain type of persona in front of your client. Mm-hmm. So you can't be too chummy with the other side. You can't treat it too much like work. You have to, like, show, like, I was there fighting for you, right?
Sure.
And at a depo, you always have that.
To the average client, I could definitely see that
yeah.
your lawyer being friendly with opposing counsel would leave a bad taste to your mouth or whatever. You'd be like, why are you so nice?
You can be friendly, but you need to make sure that, like, you're being adversarial.
Sure.
That they feel like you're on their side. There's a lot of clients that'll accept you being friendly, but they need to always feel like, especially when the record's on, right? Especially when you're in front of a judge. And so, like, when the record's on for a depo, you are always playing it because also the jury is going to see it.
Correct.
Right? So you want to, if you come across as a combative asshole adversarial attorney, that's generally seen as good, but also you are at all times making sure you're in there. The other side of it is that, like, at depos is where you will probably, that is one of the few times whenever you are on the record doing the case where you are talking directly at the other attorney.
Sure. Right?
Think about this. When you're in court, you're talking to the judge.
Uh-huh.
Okay. You don't talk to the other attorney. You get in trouble if you do.
Yeah.
And so whenever you're in a depo, the judge isn't in the room, but the record's going, and the only people talking are the attorneys. So it's really easy to go back and forth hard.
Uh-huh.
I was in one recently where, like, we get in there, other side, we're deposing the other side, their other side attorney, he's a fucking asshole. But, he immediately goes, we're going to declare this whole deposition confidential.
Oh, yeah. They've done that so many times back and forth. Yeah.
and so then we start going, and, like, I mean, like, every at least three questions, he turns to his client and goes, don't answer that. We're not going to answer that under your trade secret privilege, blah, blah, blah.
Uh-huh.
And that happens for, like, 30 minutes. And then at one point, the senior attorney that was in there just goes, what the fuck are we doing? All right. This is a confidential deposition. Why are you saying it's trade secret privilege? Everything in here is confidential. All right. Stop coaching your witness. Let's answer. and he went back and forth, like, on the record for a while.
Yeah.
And then, like, they both just started objecting to each other. And then the depo kept going. So, like, that is where you are going to see those kinds of blow-ups and fights between attorneys. And you're right. A lot of it is getting under each other's skin.
Yeah. One of the things that Andrew is so good at, that Joanne was so bad at, was that, like I think there's a natural human urge to – it's almost like when you're dealing with cops. There's a natural human urge to fight on everything, but, like, you don't have to. So, like, you know – and there are so many times where Joanne, like, when Joanne would – every time we would have a deposition, Joanne would say, I would like to mark this transcript confidential – like, Brettler would just ignore her. He just doesn't even respond. And he would just he would just keep talking. And then sometimes Joanne would be like, hello, Brettler, did you get that? And Brettler would be like, I'm not dealing with you right now, Joanne.
And every time, he's not the court reporter. He's not writing that shit down.
Yeah, like, sure. But also, he doesn't have to, right? But there are times where every single time Brettler would needle Joanne, she would take the bait and start fighting with him. And it's like, Brettler's not under oath. He's not testifying today. Like, this is, you're eating your time into talking to me. Why are you arguing with Brettler on this? Like, if you think Brettler's saying some retarded shit, file something on it later with the court. You know, like, why argue with him right now? There's literally no point for this. But she would fight with him so much. And it was so funny watching her take the bait every single time. Oh, my God.
So then, like, the other funny thing about it, like, her going, like, well, I'm going to refer to him as a minor. And I'm going to do this. And I'm going to do that. It's all, like, her trying to create a point where she can, like, have a quote where like she asks it.
Where she
don't
says, like,
it.
You talk to this minor person, blah, blah, blah. And I go, like, yeah, we were communicating with this. Yeah, she has, like, a clean, right. like, three sentences that she can tear out for an MSJ or for a video to show the court or whatever.
Or a tweet. And so it's, like, it's very funny where like you're doing the right thing of then just saying like, because she's like, well, I'm gonna refer to it as this all the time, and it's like, go ahead, like
yeah.
You like everybody
I'm not gonna
see
argue with you,
doing.
But when I have to answer next time, I'm gonna continue to restate my same thing over and over again. Like yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so like it's that's like a really big game played that by like I don't know, I don't want to say like fuck John. Bad attorneys where you're like just you can't it's like such a clear sign that you have nothing that you're just like very clearly just like trying to doctor the language of sure. the person you're deposing. So yeah, I mean like I can't say I'm surprised with this. The fact they had seven attorneys there is hilarious. Like, I don't know
seven?
Why.
They had seven. It was two, also like five of them were related. But yeah, it was crazy that they had, because it was Joanne, a guy to her left. It was two sisters. It was...
they show up with the whole squad.
It was Carlos. And then I think there were two others. And then the videographer and the court reporter. Yeah, I don't know why. And the table full of exhibits. When I walked in, and I'm like,
how
what
many
are we?
Did you have? Just you and Brettler?
Or was no, it like we had a stack of papers, but it was like organized. It was like paper clipped and like exhibit one, two, blah, blah, blah. But they had like they printed out the entire conversation history between me and Pixie,
oh,
which was like
Christ.
1,500 bait stamps worth of pages. And they like full laser printed like the gray Discord background and everything. That printer must have been dead by the end of this demo prep.
Exactly.
Now.
Exactly. Yeah. So then, like, the other funny part about this is that like they didn't, so you said it before where you're like, oh, I stream 8 hours a day, I'm used to this. Like a lot of the times when you're in these really long depots, really what you're doing is just wearing the person down, and then you get to the last like hour and a half and that person just breaks and just starts talking, right? Sure. And so like I was just imagining it where it's like, if I was in a room with seven attorneys for 8 hours and they're just watching me eat shit while this guy just like doesn't answer any of the good questions, nothing, they've just printed out 12 binders worth of exhibits, like yeah, I can see why Joan felt really rattled. And then like now she has zero excuse not to respond to the MSJ, and she has nothing to show for it.
Yeah,
so like I don't know, it's very funny in my mind that like all of this fighting, all of this hubbub, all, everything, and at the end of the day it was just like a big nothing burger depot. And now they have to go to the court and be like, okay, judge, you know, we shit up the record. We fought for all this time. We had this huge depo for both parties. And there's not going to be anything in the MSJ that is going to be like, oh, see, that's why we needed the depo. So then they're going to go in front of the judge and say like, oh, yeah, remember how we didn't respond to this MSJ because we didn't depose him? Yeah, and actually, we didn't need to do that, like you said, on the record at the last hearing. But please grant it anyways. Uh-huh. So, like, it's just... I know this case is ridiculous in a lot of ways, but it's just like, I don't know how I could make myself look worse.
Does a judge usually read the depositions, or do they listen?
Absolutely
no.
not. No,
no, no, no. They're going to be pulling out excerpts.
Got
so like
it.
Just like sections, you might attach.
It's like
the
you
depo.
Pull out your best moments. You're like, oh, here are my clips.
But you might attach the full transcript as an exhibit. People do that. Yeah. But the judge isn't. Give a shit. They just want to see what's the relevant parts, right?
What's the relevant shit that you want me to see? Yeah.
Yeah. And and you know, both sides have the chance to use it, right? So like if they cite something from the depo and say like, can you believe that Destiny admitted to all the stuff about a minor, then Brettler can be like, well, actually no, here's all the times that he said it wasn't, here's all the reasons why he didn't admit any of that stuff, blah blah blah. So you know, it's kind of a thing too where like playing those games, those traps, a lot of times are not as useful as you'd think, especially in an MSJ, because it's like, yeah, the other side has the transcript too. And if your client did a good job, which it sounds like you did, then that's not going to be worth anything, because you can just show up and say, yeah, we were there too. We remember. Here's the other thing we said that doesn't sure. mean what you're alleging.
Yeah.
And then also the a lot of it, it's like her prefacing it with, remember when you were talking to a minor? Her prefacing it there is like, she's just being like incredibly argumentative. Right. And it's an incredibly prejudicial question. So like the idea that the judge would just like let that come in with like no, like just like, yeah, it's fine. Right. It would be crazy to put something like that in front of the jury unless it was like absolutely necessary. And the judge would literally like look at them and go like at Joan and go like, if this question's important, maybe we take the minor part off because that's not relevant in the case. Right. Like, so like there's a lot of ways in which even her doing all of this wouldn't ultimately impact the case.
Maybe. I mean, like, I don't know what, because technically, I could tell that she was even trying to, because remember, the Roe stuff is all like out of statute range anyway. So like they tried to like flirt with the European stuff for like 2 seconds, but this was another area. One of the reasons why I'm struggling to explain all this is because there were just a lot of lines of questioning that I could tell she could have done so much better on, but she just didn't know. She just didn't know any of the tech. So like she said that, I'm trying to remember the questioning here. I'm trying to get it wrong because it is on tape, and I imagine this step would be public, so I don't want to act like I'm misquoting anything. But like she would ask me something like, you said here that this person was from the Illinois or whatever. You said this in 3 of your submissions, correct? And then she reads this and she's like, okay, but right here you say that these chat logs are in a European format or whatever. You know, isn't this contradicting this here? And, you know, my response is, no, of course not. And she's like, well, how could it possibly not be contradicting? And my response is like, it's something like, well, I found out that the person that was originally on the account was European. It could also be that the logs are just exported in a different format, in a different time zone format. And then she like looks at me and then scrolls through some papers and then she just drops in and goes to the next thing. And it's like, this is so like without fighting on the timestamp thing where you've lost everything for Rose. So then the only thing they could possibly bring up for their MSJ is the Abby stuff, which they spent, I think, 20 minutes of our 7-hour deposition on.
Isn't that their main fucking
which
thing?
Which is their entire anchor. Yeah. But the funny thing is they gave us the unredacted version, quote unquote, for the first time ever, we got the unredacted version of the Abby thing to look at in my deposition. However,
and you turned white as a sheet. Let the record reflect, Mr. Bonnell is white as a sheet looking at this.
Yeah. So the funny thing is that I could actually pull out all the Pixie quotes because it was actually true here. So she's like, "Can you tell me here? This is a message from Abby." Blah 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 blah. And you know, my response is truthfully, I'm not entirely sure what I'm looking at. She's like, "Well, what do you mean? Is that not Abby messaging at 11:22 a.m.?" And my response is, "I see the time 10:42 a.m. on this page, and I see the name Abby MC, but I'm not entirely sure what I'm looking at." She's like, "Oh, well, what do you mean by that?" Blah blah blah. And you know, I'm like, "Well, this appears to be text, but like there's missing chunks here. It doesn't resemble what I would see as an ordinary Discord message," and blah blah blah. And I think she
can't verify the truth of it.
Yeah. No, yeah. Because you can't. And drops.
Is there outside of this court case, like, would there have ever been a time where you would have seen these messages?
No, it was the first time I've ever seen the unredacted version of this. But then,
but what I'm saying is, like, it's very funny for them to present that to you because you don't have personal knowledge of it. So how could you ever testify to anything about it?
Sure. Yeah. But yeah. Well, there's that too. Right? Yeah. Because she's just asking me to verify like what it looks like or whatever. But yeah, like I can't testify to any of this. I don't know any of that. It's also funny because she would ask me to testify to other people's states of mind a lot. She's like, "Well, when Aaron said this to you here, isn't it because she felt this?" And my response all the time is like, "I have absolutely no idea how she felt. I imagine she could have felt a million different ways. You should depose her and ask her." So I don't know. How am I supposed to? And I remember at the end of like the Abby thing for like 20 minutes, you know, I asked her, I don't know why she answered because she doesn't answer my questions. And I'm like, "You said this was an unredacted version, correct?" And she was like, "Yeah." And I was like, "Well, that's strange because it appears to me to still be heavily redacted because I can't read any of this middle message at 10:42 p.m., for instance. Can you read this?" And she looks at it and it's all like scribbled out in like black thing or whatever. And then she kind of mumbles something and then like puts it away or whatever. And it's just like so, it was so stupid and unserious. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't know. That was something that we were discussing, some people and I were discussing about it, where it was like, this is going to be like predominantly about Abby MC, right? Because that's all that they have left. And
that's what I figured, yeah.
I didn't guess, but I was like, honestly, like, I would be surprised. I don't know how much there is to talk about, one, but like, since everything's so unserious and since they're so focused on the pedo jacketing thing, and since Abby MC has been such a wild card, it doesn't surprise me that they only spent like 20 minutes on that. And like,
I guess, but yeah. I mean, I guess they're just planning. This is the first time, and I guess that lawyers are just like really, really, really. Well, my hope, or I'm fucking everything up. My guess is they just try to be very real, very careful about like making assurances to clients, in terms of saying like, "Oh yeah, like we're gonna win," blah blah blah. This is the first time I've heard them say like, "We're pretty confident that this is gonna be over at MSJ," which felt good.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
that's good.
But I can't imagine the only 20 minutes on the Abby thing when it's their only lifeline for the for anything. But
were they just trying to pedojack you the entire time?
Well, no, they were trying to fight on me and Pixie's original agreement a little bit, which was just hilarious. The trying to nibble around the edges of like all of that, the problem again is it was all Kiwi Farms theories. And one thing that Andrew was really good about Okay, I'm giving all of this, so all this information I'm giving is so cautious because I might be overestimating myself, or like this could just be retarded. Just be careful, okay? So like, in my mind, I want to leave as pristine a record as possible, being as clear as possible. So technically, that means I want to answer as concisely as possible. Although there are times where I feel like I can provide a little bit more to clean up the record. I feel like when somebody does that, Andrew is so good at saying like non-responsive. I want that stricken from the record. I'm going to ask again, and he'll do that. Every time I tried to leave what I thought was a little bit of a cleaner version of what was being asked, Joanne would never push me on it at all and would just move on completely.
Oh, she just left it. Yeah.
Yeah. So like Kiwi Farms and Gistical and these retards have this like weird obsession where they're trying to say that like they like there was this fight between Pixie and Lav a long time ago where Lav accused Pixie of having sex with me. Lav accuses every single person of having sex with me. Lav didn't know about any of this. Okay. Although she pretends now that she knew everything, but she didn't know fuck all about this. And Joanne is like, well, is it not true in 2023 that Pixie asked you if this would remain private? Oh my God, the whole private thing was so funny too. I'll do this part. So she's saying like, didn't Pixie say here that so if it was private, how could you have possibly sent this to anybody or whatever? And then we would go through and we'd read different logs, and she would say like, is it not true here that Pixie asked you whether or not anybody else had seen your video or whether or not anybody knew that you had sexual encounters with anybody? And then I would read, you know, always take the time to read what's in front of you. So I'd read what's in front of you, and I would say, it was important that Pixie didn't know that publicly people had known that we'd had, sexual contact or whatever. But in the next sentence right here, I literally mentioned that Dan and Mr. Mouton knew that we were staying at a hotel together, and she didn't seem bothered by it at all. And Joanne would just let statements like that stand. And then I feel like I have so many of these where it's like, if you just read the next part, it seems pretty obvious that she's not bothered by this. In one of the early parts of the deposition, Joanne tried to make this argument where she was like, didn't you tell the judge that this was a private interaction between the two of you? And I said, yes. And she's like, so if it was private, that means that you should have never, ever shown this video to any other person. And I said, no. And she's like, how is that possible? I was like, well, private in streamer world can mean just between a group of offline friends versus being known publicly online. And Joanne's like, interesting. I've only ever heard private refer to one-on-one, and no other parties can know about a thing. And obviously Andrew would, you know, there's no question, don't say anything, blah, blah, blah. And then later on, Joanne would get to like a similar thing. She said, well, right here, Pixie said she wanted it kept private between you and her and possibly your wife. And obviously there you'd be more. And I said, well, I don't think it's either true. And then by the third time she brings this up, she's like, did Pixie here not say that this should be private? And in my response, like, well, I don't understand the question. Can you elaborate? And she's like, well, what do you mean by you don't understand the question? I say, well, up to this point, you've used three definitions of private with me. I'm trying to figure out which definition of private you're using here. And, oh my gosh, she was so flustered. It was funny, but.
Well, yeah, I don't think that I have. I'm very good at depositions yet. I need more experience in them before I can say like I'm good at them. But what it sounds like to me, and maybe it wasn't this way, but it sounds like she was reading. Was she reading questions like off a paper or
yes,
her computer?
Yes, absolutely, 100%. Okay, she was. She absolutely was.
I called it. So here's the issue: whenever you're at trial or in a deposition, you do not write out your questions. You don't write out your opening statement. You don't do that. You write out, you make an outline. You have the topics you want to hit, the things you want to do, but do not write them out for two reasons. One, you sound way more stilted and stupid whenever you do that. People know you're reading. You just don't sound genuine. You don't sound like a real person, and people hate that. Two, your brain, human brains, suck at reading and doing anything else at the same time.
Like thinking. You have to,
yeah, it's so hard. People naturally have a really hard time doing it. So you don't want to be reading through it, because when you're reading through it, your brain is in reading mode. And then when the person answers, your brain isn't going, what did I just say? How does that coincide with it? Your brain goes, I've got another thing I need to read.
Sure.
Okay, right? And so whenever she reads you a question and then you answer it,
she wants to go to the next thing.
Right. And the deal is, whenever you're reading, you're not listening to yourself. So she's technically not even actually processing what she's saying to you and then fitting what you said to it. She just has the question there. You answered it. She's not actually like analyzing while she does it. And it leads to depositions of what you're describing. Like that's how I knew she was reading off of something, because of like the way you're describing it. Sounds exactly like
automation
it.
A little bit of like, okay. Yeah. Next thing. Like,
I think there was a time of, oh my God, where she, because she was talking to the guy next to her or whatever, and she asked me the same question again. I think I asked, I was like, I think the court reporter can read back the answer.
Yeah.
Oh my God, dude, she was just so tricky. Yeah. Oh yeah, and I think I already mentioned this. There was a time where they were looking at the two links or whatever, and I think the litigator next to her said the links are the same, but he whispered it, but we could hear it. And Andrew was like, he just told you that the links were identical, right? Did we get that on the record or whatever? Oh my God. Yeah. Also, to what you're saying, there's nothing, I imagine you would agree, right? There's nothing, you should heavily prepare for a deposition. There's something wrong with writing down your questions so you can like keep an outline, but you can't be reading a piece of paper and then just going from one to the other. Yeah. Cause how are you going to respond to what they say?
Yeah. There's like,
well, you also have to be like thinking on the fly, I'd assume. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the other hard part is like, let's say I have a list of questions. Well, I asked you question 12, and let's say I did catch something and I want to ask you more questions. Well, now I have to essentially change my brain over to come up with a question, ask you the question, analyze it, keep going, and I might get into a flow there. Great. Now that we get to the end of that line of questioning, I've got to go back. You might have just answered 8 questions that are left in my list. And so you'll try to like start self-editing while you do it. It's just a really bad idea to do it that way. Mm-hmm. It's easier to just like have a list of shit you want to talk about. When you talk about it, just check it off the list and keep going. And you might have like a few, like, I know I want to ask this one specific question. I'm going to write it down to make sure I ask that specific question. Right.
Sure.
But like, yeah. So it's very funny because like, I don't know how many depositions she's done. I don't know. It sounds a lot like she came in here not knowing what the fuck she was doing.
Maybe. Or again, to be fair, and it's hard for me to know, obviously, because these guys have produced nothing. And Pixie seems to lie quite a bit about a lot of things. I don't know what she's told everybody around her about this case. So it could be that she's lied, maybe even to her dad, about the extent to everything that's happened here. It could be that she's lied to Joanne about everything. Like, so for instance, I don't know if Joanne is actually going on Kiwi Farms to pull out arguments, or if like Pixie is sending her these arguments, or if Lauren is sending her these arguments. I don't know. Like,
did Brettler make another statement where he like they asked the question? Brettler was like, "Oh wow, more Kiwi Farm shit? Really? Did he? Did he make?"
I don't know if he ever made that statement. Like I said, I'm fine to deal with.
He did that at the trial or the hearing, so it was just like funny. So.
Yeah. Oh, true. Yeah, that is true. But yeah, like like I said, technically I'm okay with that because like the Kiwi Farm stuff, like these are, they look good on the internet, but they don't survive like serious interrogation. Like these are retarded fucking conspiracy theories. Like you don't think I can sit down with the actual record in front of me and have a clear and concise answer to these fucking questions. But like, I don't know if Joanne was honestly expecting these to be, you know, like slam dunk killer questions. So I don't know. And it was so funny because like the last like 2 hours of our deposition was, I think, her just running down like a whole bunch of like Kiwi Farms tier and gistical tier related questions about me like deleting evidence or offering to send videos. Oh, another thing that like Andrew is very good at, this I guess is kind of mean or whatever, like Andrew is very good at making people feel kind of uncomfortable or like pushing into like uncomfortable territory. So if that means like, obviously this is a sex related case, so like reading chat logs that are make the other person uncomfortable or having them read back something that makes them feel uncomfortable. Joanne was not very comfortable with like a lot of the subject matter, and it was like, it was very obvious with the way, one, she never made me read anything that was uncomfortable on my end, of which there's a ton of like embarrassing material and obviously all these chat logs, and she wouldn't read anything uncomfortable. She would like skip the words or say something. I don't know. It was just very, it was goofy.
Well, and like, yeah, that's part of it too, where there's maybe some experience isn't showing and things like that. Like there's like a certain level of jadedness that is important to have whenever you're an attorney, just because it lets you, okay, like we need to talk about this. Here we go. We're going to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you know, you might get into some really like hairy areas, but like you're just not being a good attorney for your client.
Yeah.
If you don't do that. And so you will see whenever you see people having trouble with that, that's usually whenever they're having, it's because they don't have the experience to kind of like be able to handle those situations. So yeah, like not surprising, you know, it's, I'm not trying to be too mean, but like, yeah, this is kind of amateur hour shit. But
I'm so curious how much her dad is paying for everything.
Oh, dude, this deposition? Are you kidding me? You know how expensive this was?
I don't know how expensive mine is, but I'm just saying. But like, for her to have seven, like, I think it was 7 attorneys there for, and then all those, the table full of depo prep. When Pixie, when we did her deposition and Andrew asked her how much she paid, oh my God. Also, it's so funny that because Andrew would ask questions that I don't think Pixie necessarily had to answer. And Joanne would ask me, she's like, how much have you paid so far for your litigation? And my response was, insofar as I feel like that would implicate confidential communications with my attorney, I'm not really comfortable answering that question. And she's like, well, didn't Andrew ask Pixie that same question? And I'm like, yes, he did. And he's like, well, didn't she answer that question? And I was like, yeah, I remember her answering that. And she's like, so then shouldn't you have to answer that question? And I was like, no, I don't necessarily think I should. And then she just moved on to the next thing. Yeah, I'm like, all right. Yeah.
Yeah. Just because she answered some retarded shit doesn't mean I don't know
what you want me to say. Yeah, sure, she did. One of the funniest lines of questioning for Pixie was we asked her a bunch of stuff about, like, how did you prepare your Substack? And we went through her, because Lauren was trying to recommend her a bunch of lawyers. this guy, Mark Rendazza, comes up a lot. And by the end of our line of questioning for this Mark Rendazza guy, because we were like, Pixie, how did you write the Substack? And she's like, well, I sent it to this guy, this other lawyer, Mark, and he went through some of this stuff, and then he sent it back to me. And I was like, another lawyer was writing a Substack for you? Was he like your lawyer? And then by the end of this, she's like, I think he sent me something to sign. It's like, why wouldn't you open with this? Dude, that was one of the times where the lawyer sitting next to her was like, oh my God. Because that line of questions should have been attorney-client. If you had letters of engagement with this guy, why the fuck would you tell any of the... But the actual answer, in my mind, I know why. And the reason why is because that guy didn't help her with any of it. It was all Lauren, 100%. But Lauren probably told her a lie and say, oh, just say that, like, you know, Mark or whatever told you that he wrote this shit or whatever. But it was probably Lauren De Laguna for all of it. That's probably why. But oh my God. For the final question, be like, oh, I think I had paperwork from him or whatever. It's like, then why the fuck? 1L, right? You're in law school. Why the fuck would you answer any of the questions about this then? My God.
Yeah. Well, and like, it's funny because I mean, like yesterday you said you were like, oh, I'm prepping for this depo and stuff like that. And so like, it's funny to me because considering how much they prepped Pixie, I would have thought that they would have assumed you did prep too and would be able to handle like any amount of pushback. You know what I'm saying? Where it's kind of this thing where it's like, it feels like they really thought you were just going to come in here like off the cuff and they'd be like, oh, wow, look at this idiot just saying shit. I don't know. Like
I don't know.
Just feels very silly in a lot of ways. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like I definitely agree with your counsel. Where it's like, yep, this feels all really good, and it would be the weirdest thing in the world if the judge looked at any of this and was like, well, I guess there's a real question here.
Let's go to a jury.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just so hard. But no, I mean, like, hey, this is the only. I mean, I'm looking forward to see what the response is. Mm-hmm. And
I kept waiting for
any kind of oral argument.
I was talking with Andrew about this because I thought it would have been funny. I kept, because Joan was getting so mad. One of the things that Andrew's done a few depositions, I really like it. I think it's very funny, is where he's like, if you want to testify, I'll put you under oath, Joanne. I almost thought that Joanne was about to say that to him because she was getting so fucking mad.
Fuck it, put me under.
I watch a lot of videos and stuff about like, how to perform a deposition, how to defend a deposition or whatever. And it is funny that I see some of those things show up that I see Andrew does for his depo. So like there's I want to say ammunition. It's not that. Do you know what I'm thinking of?
What are you trying to describe?
It's the statement where you tell a person that, like, this is going to be in front of a jury. Your statements are under oath, where they know. Admonition? Is it?
Yeah, admonition?
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 Admonition, maybe?
Are you talking about admonishing someone?
No. There's a word for a statement. I think it's admonition, where you... Will you tell the person, yes, basically, yeah. And
that's admonishing, yes. An admonition is like whenever you admonish someone.
No, wait, that's not what I'm thinking of then.
Admonish means to firmly warn, reprimand, or advise someone against a fault.
Oh, actually, wait, I guess maybe it is. It's just, I always hear that in a really negative
context. You're saying, like, hey, just so you know, like, you're going to, this is all on the record and fucking.
Yeah. That I've heard that, like, if you're a good deposer, that rather than use this thing at the very beginning, like defensively, you always bring this out as a weapon later on to claim that you've done it. So, like, rather than tell somebody at the start, like, this is going to be on the record, the jury can see this, make sure that you answer every question truthfully, blah blah blah. That it's better to wait until you're like halfway through to pull it out, and you're like, your answer to this under oath is this. You're testifying today. Let me remind you, you're testifying under oath.
Oh yeah.
And the jury will see this. Can you say this right now? Don't look at me. Look at the camera. Can you tell the jury the answer to this question? Blah 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 or whatever. Yeah, he's very, very, very good at doing that.
Yeah, no, there's definitely like times when you're in there, like when you know you've got Like when you know this person's about to say something stupid, or if they just said something stupid and you're like, so you, as the president of ABC LLC, you're saying that you didn't know what was going on at your own company. Can you say yes to that?
Yeah.
Like yeah.
And it's so funny how much that works, because every time, like every time Andrew would do that to Lauren De Laguna, she would give a totally different answer right after he would do that. And it's like, I think, yeah, because it's like, one, we're not calling the judge right now. And then two, like, is this really so important? Do you think he's going to file a motion over the answer to this question? Just give the same answer. Like, why are you freaked out? So just give the same fucking answer. Unless it's obviously like super important to the case. But like, dude, so many people, or I say so many people, but it feels like so many people, because I've seen Andrew do this so many times, where they completely give a different answer once he gives that admonishment. Yeah.
Well, no, it's so like, I don't know. There's like a game show. I don't even know how many episodes there were, but it was so stupid. It was like, okay, like you have a team of two, right? There's these two guys, like two contestants. And what's going to happen is they're going to go hide. One of them is going to go hide. And the contestant knows where he is. And then we're going to bring in two detectives. And they're just going to grill the shit out of this guy for like some amount of time to try and find the guy that's hiding, right? And it's like a game. And if they win, they get money. Mm-hmm. And it's a game show, right? So it's like, who gives a shit? Just sit there and shut the fuck up. And like so many episodes, they would get the person that knows where the other person is hiding into a room and just pressure the shit out of them into admitting where the other guy is. And it's like, what the fuck are you doing? But it's just like people that have never been in a situation like that, or, you know, like didn't prepare properly, they just cave to pressure because they've never actually had to deal with real pressure in their lives. It's like whenever people like admit shit to the cops, right? It's like they just don't, like people just aren't mentally prepared for being pressured in that way. And so, yeah, like that stuff totally fucking works. Yeah, I mean, like,
yeah, one of the things I would say watching a lot of the cop interviews of like the crazy people is I always had this feeling that one of the reasons why it was so easy when the cop would be friendly to get admissions out of some of these people is because I'm willing to bet that for a lot of these guys, it's the first time anybody has ever spoken to them in their entire life where it sounds like they actually give a fuck about about the things that they are saying or feeling. So when the cops just get a little friendly, like, this person was like a really bad person, weren't they? Like, they were real mean to you. Yeah. Like, they'd be like, and they just start like rambling and everything off. Yeah.
Dude, like the amount of, like, I've had to, when I was doing defense work, I had to, like, watch so many of those where the cops are just like, hey, like, we just really want to hear your sad story. Like, here's what everybody else is saying. Mm-hmm. Isn't that fucked up? Isn't it fucked up that everyone's saying that about you? What do you think? And then they just admit to a crime. Yeah. And you're like, God damn it.
Every one of these criminals do that. Holy shit.
And that is a strategy. Like, whenever you're doing depots, like, everybody thinks you're always going to be fighting, but, like, a ton of the time when you do a depot, you just go in and be like, hey, man, we're just trying to get some info. Like, what's going on? And you might, like, actually have a conversation that sounds very similar to what we're doing right now.
Sure.
And then, like, you're talking and talking, and you kind of get a rhythm going. And then you just kind of slip in a question that's relevant, and they go, oh, yeah, that happened. And then you go, so you're saying that in your individual capacity, you did that? And then that person just, like, immediately shits themselves because they realize they've been talking freely on the record for, like, 30 minutes without thinking about it, and they can't remember what they told you. But they do know they just fucked up, and they probably can't even really remember what they just said.
Well, because a lot of people, one of the issues is that people have a really hard time, like even I have a hard time thinking about things from other people's perspectives. And what people don't realize is how important it is for the other person to incrementally build on their case. So if I live in Omaha and I murdered somebody in San Francisco, in my mind, I don't ever want the cops to know that I murdered that person. In the cop's mind, they don't even know I was in San Francisco. So every question that they can ask where it's like, okay, I'm sure you guys, you know, had a heated relationship or whatever, but you would never hurt her, of course, right? Like, you visited her, you said, or did you say you were in San Francisco visiting her, right? And he's like, yeah. It's like, okay. Like, they're getting closer and closer and closer to every yes that you say. So even if they can't build you up to the murder part, now in their investigation or when they're in trial with you, right, all they have to do is get you from point like F to G. Whereas at the beginning of the interrogation, they were back on A, and they didn't even have you in California. They didn't even have you in San Francisco. But in the interrogation, you admitted all the way up to, I was really fucking mad at her, and I wanted to kill her, but I swear that I didn't. And it's like, okay, well, we just have to bridge the micro gap that is that, and then it's over. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's the same in civil, where it's like, you're going to go to a depot, and it's like, it would be great if this person just admitted fully to liability and said, I will pay you money here. But, like, usually you're going to have, you know, patches of discovery already where you can say, okay, we can put this together. We have these little gaps. And, you know, he might not even give all the rest of it to us today, but he might give us, you know, fill in, you know, half of the gaps we have left. Great. And then now that we have that, we can go and get this other type of discovery because he revealed that this discovery even exists. right? So now we might do follow-up production requests and then get more documents. So like, yeah, it's funny too, because people will think like, well, as long as, you know, I don't admit that I, you know, sent pictures to a minor, then I'm safe. And it's like, well, no, like, do you admit this is your laptop? And they're like, no. And like, whose is it? It's my roommate's. Okay, have you ever used it before? Uh-huh. Yeah, I've used it before to like go on and check stuff on the internet. It's like, okay, great. So you just admitted that you have access to this laptop. There's child porn on the laptop. Great. Now you're convicted. Right. Yeah. Like, it's, you
know, don't know what the other party has exactly all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, good job not cracking under the pressure. You know, we were all worried. We know, you know, you were sure. Just.
So. And then also to reiterate, because I learned this in Germany when I got questioned coming back to America like 15 years ago. Like, I don't know how I perform like in an actual like high pressure environment. I'm not trying to say that I could outtalk the cops or civil litigation every time. I'm extremely advantaged here in that I feel like I'm truthful on everything I've said. I provided all of my discovery, and I feel like the other side has lied time and time and time and time and time again. And nothing is easier as long like now, like if you're intellectually competent, if you can do the debate and everything else, if you're on the truthful side, like I think it makes much easier. I say the same actually when it comes to debates and everything too. Like people are like, oh, why do you think you're the best debater? And I was like, well, my positions are super easy to defend, and the other side's positions are impossible to defend. So like as long as I'm decently competent, like I'm never losing a debate against any of these people. Yeah.
And a big part of it too is that like you kind of said it. You've talked about this before, but it's like you don't have to keep everything in your head. That is one of the easiest things that puts you in the best position where it's like, no, I'm not saying this. This document right here is saying it. And I just need to know that I agree with what's in here.
Oh my God. Yes.
I'm not going to be able to repeat it perfectly.
Yeah. There was one of the things that was so nice is that, and I haven't kept track of my language through all the 6 years, but there were so many times where they would put an exhibit in front of me and I would read it. I was like, oh, thank God I said this. Or, oh my God, I'm so happy that I said this. Because again, like that Kiwi Farms, because there was always this thing where, and again, like online, you can play games with language or whatever. But if you're a streamer, like private and public, that means two different things to different people, right? In the streamer world, like private is like, my friends know this or whatever, versus like the entire fucking internet knows this. And every streamer, YouTuber, person understands the distinction here. It might seem different personally, but Kiwi Farms and Gisticle, which is, again, it's so funny because I don't know if Pixie gave them this theory or if they might just be emailing with Joanne directly. This idea that like Pixie wanted nobody ever. She said nobody could know that you guys ever hooked up. And it's like, yeah, but literally every single time she brought this up, like I'm always saying like, oh, Dan and Mr. Mooten might know because Dan and Mr. Mooten were at the hotel where we met, right? Like 5-6 years ago. Do you remember that dinner?
Yeah, I remember the dinner.
Yeah. And it's like, so we were staying at a hotel room together or whatever. I said here, like Melina might know, I'm pretty sure. And all of my answers to Pixie are in response are always like, oh, like I'm pretty sure that nobody else should know this. Or I'm pretty sure, I'm pretty sure that blah, blah, blah. It's never like 100%. Of course, I remember our agreement, Queen, that I would never tell a single fucking soul. Like that was never in any message that I ever sent ever. And so I'm always reading these back. And then I'm adding like, yeah, it seems here that, you know, she was under the impression that there weren't more than a handful of people who would have known and blah, blah, blah. And yeah, and then she would have to drop that line and then go to something else. Yeah.
And so like, and that's also a hard thing to overcome whenever you're deposing someone, right? Is we're like, bacon.
What an idiot.
Oh.
His mic dropped.
Lawyer, by the way.
Lawyer, by the way.
He'd be in the Zoom call muted.
Can y'all not hear me?
Oh, we can't. Hi.
Oh, okay. That's really mean.
Sorry.
Let me see. I was saying something, then you were bullying me.
I mentioned that my logs were generally pretty consistent on this. Private, public means something different. I'm glad that I said the same things when they were shown to me.
Yeah. You're not lying. Oh, no. What you'll have is you'll have people that will literally just stand behind the document, right? Like, you'll be like, hey, okay, like, what did you guys agree to? And they'll be like, we signed a contract on this date. You know, our agreement was contained in the contract. Like, okay, well, in the contract, did y'all agree to this? And then the person will go, contract speaks for itself. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's really helpful for them because like, one, it doesn't have them restating what they thought it is in their words so that like they can be impeached with that language.
Yeah.
And it also, it just makes it where like, okay, well now we just have to only rely on this exhibit.
Sure.
And so like whenever she was asking you those questions about like the messages, right, for Abby, mm-hmm. and you're like, I literally don't know what the fuck I'm looking at. Right. If you had just read that and said like, yeah, that's from Abby. Right, like that. You don't know that, and like you said, you don't know that.
Yeah,
you have no idea if this blog is real or not. Yeah.
But it also helps in that, it's true. I don't know what the fuck I'm looking at, and it's a doctored thing. What I'm looking at, like, there's a huge chunk missing where it looks like somebody took like a filled in gray square on Discord to cut out like part of whatever she said underneath that, and then there's like somebody took like a black like the marker tool and wiped over whatever the response message was. Like, this is your sole exhibit, really? like your actual
Whereas
real
Pixie's answers, it sounded like she's saying, I don't know, I can't verify the authenticity of her own fucking messages. It's like,
of everything that I provided,
here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And oh my God, but we started asking questions around like, where is the conversation between you and Aaron? And she's like, well, I you know, I think that she might have deleted those or whatever. And it's like, she can't delete your side, right? And she's like, yeah, but I don't know if I can access those because she might have blocked me on Discord. Oh my God. Oh, one of the craziest answers that she gave, I don't remember if I brought this up in her deposition, is we asked her, you deleted this message about the that any dollar amount you would ask from the defense is too high, right? You deleted that message. And her response to that was like, yeah, I deleted it because I wanted to make a better screenshot for my Substack. I'm like, why? What the? What a fucking
crazy
fucking thing to say! What the fuck? I don't know.
Jesus.
Sheesh.
That's a lawyer in the. Oh
yeah, and then Joanne.
Face
one of the things Joanne asked me was like, Joanne was like, you claimed that Pixie. It was like you claimed Pixie deleted messages and the thing or whatever. And I was like, yeah. And she was like, isn't it true though that Pixie only deleted one message from your chat history? And I think my response was like, well, I can't say that. And she's like, what do you mean? And I was like, well, the nature of deleted messages is that I necessarily don't know what was deleted by virtue of it being deleted.
Right.
And then she just moves on to the next thing. I was like, okay, yeah, what do you want me to say? How am I supposed to know what's not there? What?
She's like, great answer.
Yeah.
Like, oh, shit, I didn't think of that one. I was
like,
okay. Yeah, no,
like, on the record, like, Joan scratches head, moves on. Like, yeah, it's like, I don't know, that's very silly. But, yeah, I don't know, it's one of those things too, where like imagine you were at trial and she was asking you questions about this stuff. A big part of a deposition is not just that you can use it for an MSJ. It's so that at trial, if you say something different, right, I can impeach you.
Yeah,
I can
play
I can
the video.
And it's funny because it's like a big part of that can be just making your question at deposition so. Like, you can ask a question at a deposition and then needle that person a lot into giving an awkward answer that sounds bad, that maybe is impeachable. Like, there's ways to do that, even in areas where, like, this isn't relevant, blah, blah, blah. Because the great thing about impeachment evidence, like, if I'm going to impeach you with evidence, that evidence is much – the burden for me to get it in is much lower. The admissibility of impeachment evidence is so much lower than anything else. And so that's why, like, you might get awkward or irrelevant questions at a depo that might pop up later. But it seems like here she, like, literally couldn't even bring herself to do that. She just was...
No, because one of the things
flailing.
What you said is that, like, so, like, one, it seems like what Andrew tries to do is if you give an answer that looks clean on the record, he's going to say... The pattern is... Strike everything that was just said as non-responsive. My question, very simply, yes or no question, is, you know, are you a piece of shit? And if the person is like, well, some people might say that I am. I don't think I would consider myself a piece of shit. In this one instance, I might be, blah, blah, blah. And you're going to say, not, move to strike as non-responsive. I'm going to ask you one more time, very simply, are you a piece of shit, yes or no? And usually when he does that, the other person will wear down. Eventually, they'll say, like, yes. And you're going to say, thank you, and then move on. And now, yeah, like you said, he can refer to that. When I asked you, very simply, are you a piece of shit, yes or no? You said yes. Now the person on the stand has to kind of like squirm around that answer. I don't know if they're allowed. I guess maybe when they on cross or direct or whatever, on direct, their own attorney can come up and like, well, can we play the earlier part of the deposition? But now you're kind of in a bad spot because you got bullied into giving that answer and you shouldn't have, you know?
Yeah. And it's, I don't know. There's like a lot of mind games and these kind of strategies.
Yeah.
I'm glad that it went the way it did. And it's the throw on the paper is hilarious.
Maybe. I could also be lying about everything. Like, they claimed I was lying about every single other deposition and everything else I was saying was better or worse than it actually was in the hopes that nobody would actually read it, even though that has never been the case for anything and it's always been worse for Pixie. But this might be the time.
To be fair, every time you've ever talked to me, I've assumed everything's a lie and acted on that belief, and it's actually worked out great. So
amazing. Hell yeah.
Damn, maybe not. But yeah. All right. I have to get back to my real job. It's fun talking to you. You guys have
We're
a good
at our
one?
Job right now.
Yeah.
Oh,
we're
okay.
Working right now, motherfucker.
Yeah. We're on the clock.
That's why you have to sell cups to survive, Moon.
That's
Whoa.
Right. Yes, sir.
Oh, my God. If I made a manifesto, I feel like the opening scene to it, somebody gave me this idea in chat, the fucking most Kino shit ever would be getting fucking that Rowan guy to AI gen himself as like fucking Andrew Brettler. And then to have it would either be Pixie or Lauren De Laguna with like a fucking mustache on. To you know, be talking to him in an office, and then to walk out of the office, and then Andrew's like sitting, kind of like on the side of his table, sipping a cup of coffee, and then he like looks to his left, and he's kind of like looking at his like huge board behind him, and then he sees like a advertisement for like red solo cups. He sees like Cardi B concert, yeah. Like Cardi, like the law, and it's like the fucking Kaiser whatever from Usual Suspects. Yeah,
yeah.
That'd be the keynote opening to the deposition. Like, oh shit, it was all fucking fake bullshit. Fuck. That Day Laguna fuck. Beach yeah. Vacation or whatever. Yeah.
He sees a poster on his wall for like a trip to a farm that grows kiwis.
True. Yeah. Visit New Zealand today, kiwi farm. Yeah. Oh fuck.
Yeah. Okay, well, y'all have a good one. Everybody have a good weekend.
Have fun. Be careful.
Bye.
Oh, yeah, there'd be a little TV playing. Solo leveling in the background. Bro, Mutin. I'm going to be honest with you, okay?
All right.
I don't think I've ever said this publicly before.
I'm waiting.
I think our boy David might have done it.
David?
Yeah, it's not looking good. It's not looking good for him. The singer guy?
Oh.
Apparently they found like fucking chainsaws in his house that they think they use. He uses a saw.
Okay, that I didn't see. I saw they found like 60 grams, or sorry, not grams, terabytes of like child porn on his phone.
Okay, well,
so, on, or something like that. Yeah.
All right, who doesn't have 60 TV?
Joan is running right now.
Hearing everybody Your in the Honor? Room. Hearing everybody in the room laughing for the depo when because they showed these food shops clips and the food like a minute and 30 seconds of me, and you can see food shops is like playing fucking XCOM, and you hear me over the mic, I'm like screaming and I'm like, I don't know how to do these timestamps, none of this fucking makes sense, this is the stupidest fucking thing in the universe, and like all of the co-counsels are like just fucking laughing. I'm like, this is fucking, I'm fucking unhinged. And then the next clip they played, it's like 20 seconds in. I'm like, okay, I got a question about submitting stuff to Grok or whatever. Is this going to get shown on the internet? Because I don't want to send all my child porn to Grok or whatever. And then like as soon as I talk, I was like, I would like to state for the record that I did not send any child porn to ChatGPT or whatever. Stupid. Dumb. But
good. That is so fucking funny.
What are you going to do?
God, she shouldn't have shown the clip. She should have just read it out to you.
Well, there was then another time where she did that too. Oh, that was another Kiwi Farms theory, because she tried to run with the Queeman and Gistical thing, where she's like, didn't you say here that you hope that one of your fans kills these people or that you would show up and kill them yourself? And I think my response was like, well, when you read it like that, Joan, I sound like a sociopath, but yes, I was speaking hyperbolically here. These people had nothing to do with the court case. It was because of years of harassment and stalking and blah, blah, blah. But she didn't know any of the background for that either, so I got to explain my whole side, and then she didn't. Yeah. Yeah, she was just way too... I think she was just way too gentle, and she needed to be a bit more aggressive. But hey, it is what it is. I'm not complaining.
Well, this is good. Maybe you won't have to go to trial.
I don't think. Yeah, this was the first time I was ever comfortable enough, I guess, like saying that they felt
they like feel good.
That yeah, they were like, I think we're gonna win this on MSJ.
David's 21, and he chopped her up and put her in the back of his. I guess
not
Tesla.
Good. He went full Saudi Arabia on that girl.
Yeah. Yeah, U.S. singer David bought chainsaw after allegedly killing teen. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. yeah. What are you going to do, you know?
What do you want me to say?
Oh. I had... Especially when we were getting into like the technical shit on the deposition, I felt kind of bad. The court reporter lady like stopped me for a second, and she was like, she said, "Sir, the fastest stenographer on record can do 330 words per minute, and we only have to be certified up to 250 for court reporting stuff, and you're speaking at about 400 words per minute. Can you please slow down?" Sorry.
That's so nice of her, though. She's like, please, like, whoops. Please help me.
I imagine for the technical stuff, because there was an answer. There are so many technical questions. Joan will ask me, and then she was like, can you explain what you mean by, like, time codes here or whatever? And I'm like, well.
I assume it slows you down, right?
Well, no. I can speak a lot about it, but because it's, like, technical stuff, you're probably not used to typing it. So when I'm saying things
that's what I meant. Yeah, typing it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, probably. That's my guess, yeah. Fake news. Hey, it'll be in the transcript. I think that was on the record. Unless she waited till the thing got turned off to say it.